Welcome to the Tradeswomen Australia podcast series that promotes women in trades. Here you'll hear stories of success and ambition from some of the industry's most inspirational women.
In the United States, they say they spend like $60 billion a year making products that will eventually turn to e-waste.
On the show today, I'm speaking with Jackie. Jackie works in the sustainable industry, a huge growth sector, not just in Australia, but internationally. Jackie is here to tell us how she got into the industry, what it is she does, and the opportunities that might exist for you.
So my name's Jackie and I'm a scrap metal merchant, or a scrappy, they would call me. I manage a startup scrap metal company in Geelong region in Victoria. And I also manage my dad's established scrap metal business in Melbourne, which has been running since the 80s.
Jackie, what is a scrap metal yard?
So a scrap metal yard, it can be anything that has to do with scrap metal. So, you know, some car yards, they're considered a scrap metal yard. Our scrap metal yard in Geelong is predominantly we service the domestic people. So people will call us because they have a fridge that's broken down or a microwave that's stopped working. They might have, you know, a shed that's full of tools and, you know, maybe it's an old elderly person that's cleaning out everything, or it might be after somebody's passed away and they've been a fix-it man in the garage. So we can go out there and collect all of that scrap metal and then we take it and we will sort it, but predominantly we the middleman, so we then will take it to a foundry where it's then recycled. And one of the foundries that we use, well, the main foundry that we use, has a massive shredder. And so all of the scrap metal that we collect goes through a shredder. It gets divided up into mixed steel, stainless steel, and then rubble. So all of those things that, especially when they're domestic, they'll have bits of rubber and rubbish and glass or whatever it is in them. It all gets divided. And then all of that then can be process for recycling.
And what was it that encouraged you to pursue a career in scrap metal?
I started with Dad back in 2000. It was back when the GST had just come in, and so I literally got handed a shoebox full of stuff. So at that time, I had just had my first child, and I also had decided to start a university degree. So working with Dad, it was really just kind of helping him out, really. Like, initially, I didn't think much of it. It was just sort of like just to do the books, and because he'd never really done much of that prior, I didn't think it was going to be such a big thing. But anyway, as it happened, obviously, you know, the GST's in and everyone who was predominantly working on cash, all of that kind of changed. And also I just didn't really realise my dad's quite a simple man, so I really didn't understand the complexity of industry, I suppose, in that he was working with some really big multinational companies, probably global companies. And so, you know, they require OH&S documentation. They want safety management plans. They want to see that you're doing your JSAs, like all of these kinds of things. And so leaving school like quite early, my dad, that's just not his forte. He's an expert in demolition and scrap metal, but not in writing and certainly not in articulating to office people about what he's doing. So then I soon became that. And so I suppose it just evolved that I started, you know, with him little by little. And then eventually he said, why don't you just go down to Geelong and start doing domestic pickup? And so that's what I did, and came, you know, reopened a new company in Geelong, so completely separate to our company in Melbourne. Initially I had guys out picking up the scrap and doing all the inverted commas guy stuff. But then I was like, well, you know, I'll go out and check it out too. I want to see how it is. And it was just great. I loved it. So I went and got my heavy vehicle license, got my machine operator's license in, and now I can do it all. So I suppose that's how this pathway's chosen, because people will say to me often when I meet them, scrap metal? Why would you be doing scrap metal? And I just laugh. But I suppose because it's what I've always known anyway as growing up. My dad's always been a scrappy, and it doesn't seem that unnatural to me, but I can see when people meet me and then they ask me what I do, they're quite like taken aback, which is funny.
And can you walk us through a typical day in your shoes?
So my day starts quite early. I like to wake up early. I like to get up before everyone else because I have five kids. So I really like to get up before everyone wakes up because that's kind of my time. So when I get up, I like to go for a walk. I do a bit of headspace and, you know, just really love that time on my own. So that's my first thing. Then I've got the morning rush and everyone off and work. And then depending on the day, I'll either go into the office. So if I'm in the office, I'm generally, well, it's, you know, pretty boring, but it's just all about doing book work, but also have some people that help me with that as well now. So it's also a bit of planning and just strategizing on, you know, different things that we might be thinking of and implementing. And then if I'm going into the yard, then, you know, I'll check the schedule for the day. So everything gets scheduled into a planner and see where we have to go, what area it is, what sort of things we'd be picking up, whether we're doing a bigger cleanup like a shed or a farm, or just, you know, picking up a washing machine here and there. So I just sort of check out that schedule, have a chat to whoever I'm working with on the day, you know, look at our things we need to be looking out for while we're doing that, if things are too heavy, or, you know, how are we going to manage the jobs of the day pretty much. And then we're out, and then we're off in the car or the truck, whichever we're using for that day, and literally going to people's houses and picking things up. Because of the nature of what we do, a lot of the time people are actually home, so I have to kind of be careful and not stand there chatting to people too much, because you meet some really interesting people. And some places you go to, you know, the things that they're getting rid of, like we went to a man's house once and it was his grandmother's gates, and like he was really attached to the gates. Well, she was really attached to the gates. He said, you know, she really didn't want to give them away even for recycling, because, you know, she just didn't want to hear that they'd been crushed up. And so, you know, we said to them, well, we'll take them and we'll redo them up so that we can, you know, sell them and somebody else can use them as the gates that they are. So that kind of stuff, you know, goes, it's pretty good. And so we fill up, well, whatever we've got, the truck or the trailer, and then we go back to the yard and we have a machine there. So we usually unload what we've got, and then we sort of sort stuff as well. So there might be things that just go to scrap. There might be things that we can repair, and then with the fridges and all the refrigerants, like the air conditioners and that kind of thing, we'll have to get those degassed. So put them aside as well. So that's pretty much the day. And then it's home and doing all the mum stuff, and then make the lunches, go to bed and start all over again the next day.
Wow, that's such a huge day. Do you have any tips on how you manage yourself just to get through the day?
When we first started down here in Geelong, I'd just created my own diary, I suppose. And so, you know, really just a table that I'd bound together, you know, so then when somebody would call up, I'd just write down their name, their address, what they had, you know, maybe a little description. So it was all on paper. And I usually take my dog out with me when I do the scrap run. And so I had my pup and he was sick in the car and was sick on my paper. And so then I couldn't see where I had to go next. And I was like, oh my God, I need to think of something else. Anyway, so then I found Tradeify and it's awesome. So literally I can do the same thing, except that it's on my iPad. So whoever's going out for the day can take the iPad and everything's on there. And even if I'm not out and other people are out and people are calling through, or the girls at the office are getting calls, they can actually add the call in to on the computer and it comes through to us on Tradeify. So it's been amazing, because then we've got all of our clients in the one spot, and if we have repeat clients, which we often do, I already have all their details. So there's not a matter of searching through papers, it's all just there. So yeah, I'm loving it, and I'm just about to implement that into my dad's business as well, which is a little bit different, but it'll be great because he's just started using an iPad. He's a bit of a dinosaur, but he can use Gmail. And so I said to him, say, you can use Tradeify, and then that way when you're asking me questions, you can just go on there and it's all there. So it's great. I love it.
Wow, sounds so handy. Is there anywhere else that you would like to recommend, or any other resources that have helped you along your career journey?
You know, I read books like Rich Dad Poor Dad, which is Kawasaki, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which is Stephen Covey, and all of those authors. And then I even read books from like Louise Hay, which is all about looking at yourself in the mirror and telling yourself that you love yourself, which people might think that's a bit freaky, but it's kind of just that giving yourself that energy, I guess, and passion that you can do anything. So there's so many books that really give you the strength, I suppose. Now I'm kind of really into audios because I don't have so much time to just sit and read books. But because we drive around a lot, then I have them in the car. And I love listening to Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
And how do you recommend that listeners could get into the scrap metal industry if that was something that they were interested in?
When people wanting to get into the scrap metal industry, there's a whole bunch of other opportunities now. You don't need to be going around collecting scrap and cashing it in. For instance, as I said, we get our fridges degassed. As our company grows, I would like to have our own degasser, or, you know, person that's on board that's doing that. And that would predominantly be sort of a sparky kind of role. There's, you know, boiler makers, welders, like when we're getting things that are coming in and we want to recycle them for what they are. Like I've got this big, beautiful set of iron security doors. You know, they're amazing, but the doors are jammed and, you know, there's just a few little things that need to be fixed on them. So someone like a welder or a boiler maker. And I think the ultimate thing of getting into this industry is, and I suppose it's probably a bit more extensive than a trade, but it's an engineer, like somebody that can actually, or innovator, somebody that can see things and think, well, we could do it this way. So with recycling, there's a lot of processing that needs to be done. And thing is that, you know, it's not just me, it's a state thing, it's a local thing, it's a global thing, is that we need to think of better ways to manage our waste and how we can make it better for the planet.
It just sounds like the sustainability has so many opportunities for tradies, doesn't it?
Oh, it's huge. I was at the Waste and Energy Expo a couple of weeks ago in Melbourne, and especially in the new energy section, it is just so vibrant and there is so much innovation. And yes, the tradies, because they're looking at building, you know, in when they build new estate, you know, all of the solar that will actually go into the house prior, you know, so now we have like the solar panels, like eventually it's going to be that these solar are built into tiles, you know, like, and it's a long way to go, but like all of that just will change the whole building industry for tradies. And yeah, and also just create new opportunities, because then you have like the batteries that they need to go with the houses. And so as the clean energy movement evolved and more and more houses are getting that clean energy, there's, yeah, definitely like just new opportunities for sure.
I can tell you're really passionate about sustainability, Jackie. Do you think this is a growth industry in Australia?
Absolutely. There's a news, yesterday I just went and met with a lady from a company called Toxfree, and they recycle e-waste. So e-waste is a massive waste. Apparently in the United States, they say they spend like $60 billion a year making products that will eventually turn to e-waste. So that's a lot of products. And apparently in Australia, we turn over like our e-waste quicker than any other country, in that, you know, we're like 1 to 2 year lifespan. We're looking for the new iPhone. We're looking for the new watch. We're looking for the new this, the new that. And so then what happens to the stuff that isn't being used anymore? Well, it becomes a waste, and they call it e-waste. So we're talking about phones and computers and TVs and that kind of thing. But the Victorian government are actually bringing in July next year, 2019, that e-waste is going to be banned to any landfill. So that includes anything that has a battery or a cord. So vacuum cleaners, hair dryers, electric blankets, toys, you know, all of those things. So this is like a new thing that, you know, is happening. And I guess as people become more aware of how we're damaging the planet, then new ways of recycling and making things, you know, easier in that aspect is certainly going to appear. So I certainly see sustainability as growing, yes.
And Jackie, as a passionate advocate for sustainability, you're part of a radio program. Would you mind telling us a little bit about what it's about and giving us the details?
I'm on a radio show now, so I co-host a show in Geelong on Pulse FM, which is a community radio station, and our program is called The Sustainable Hour. And so I started on that about, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. So there's two guys that co-host it, and then another guy that sort of has, you know, a few special comments.
And what station is it on?
94.7 The Pulse, that's the station. So it's an FM station. And then the show that I'm on is called The Sustainable Hour, and that show is also turned into a podcast. So then the boys, like, you know, edit it and do all that kind of stuff, which I'm learning to do as well now, so that then it goes to a podcast. So you can probably find, if you Googled The Sustainable Hour, you'd probably find the podcast and you can have a listen to that. Or, yeah, if you can get 94.7, which I think it's a pretty good station to tune into, then you can have a listen. We're on 11 till 12 every Wednesday.
Thanks, Jackie. And you've just had such an amazing career and you're very inspirational. Before we wrap up the show, are there any moments during your time in the industry that you're really proud of and you would like to share with the listeners?
When I decided I'm going to go out and pick it up myself. So I went out with the guys and I didn't even know how to, you know, tie a rope or a ratchet. And when I learned to do that and I could do it by myself, I was like so excited. So that's like a really... a really small kind of hero moment, but also just, I suppose, getting my truck license was really nerve-wracking. I haven't been so nervous in such a long time, and I was so nervous about getting that. And the guy that had taken me for that course, he was so surprised because I was yapping all the way when we were doing all the lessons and stuff. And as soon as we went into course mode, I was just like a robot. But I actually passed it, so I was really proud of myself for that. And getting my machine operators, I actually really loved that, the excavation, and I love working on the machine, so they're probably my hero moments for now.
And Jackie, how can listeners get in touch with you?
So people can get in touch with me, they can email me Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E at scrapsolutions.com.au, or you can ring our office on 1300 742 940, and the girls will take a message and I'll be able to call you back. Or you can find us on Facebook, Scrap Solutions, Instagram. We're on all of those amazing social media platforms. But I'm happy for people to email me directly if they want to get in touch.
Jackie, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Please stick around for some special show notes. Thank you for tuning into today's show in partnership with the Federal Department of Education and Training, Real Skills for Real Careers. You can find out more about pursuing an apprenticeship and beginning your lady tradie career on our website at www.tradeswomenaustralia.com.au or on the myskills.gov.au website. If you enjoyed our show today, please leave us a 5-star rating and spread the word to encourage more women into trades. Thanks again and catch you next week.